Just a few nights ago, I finished reading Michael Perry's latest book. It's called Visiting Tom, A Man, A Highway, and the Road to Roughneck Grace. And like all the other books that he's written, I enjoyed it very, very much. And I'm really pleased to have him back to visit with us today about his book and about his writing and what he's been up to. And certainly, we'd love to hear from you as we visit with him. I'm sure many of you have read Michael Perry's books. Have you read it? Read any of his books? You have a favorite? What is it about Michael's way of telling a story that you enjoy? You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or you can go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. And, Michael, welcome back.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Good. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming by. What have you been up to?
Well, just started book tour. Well, last night was the official first night. The book came out yesterday, and so I started up there in Rice Lake, Wisconsin. Did a reading at the high school in the auditorium. It was great because, I don't know, gosh, 15 or 16 years ago, I was self-publishing my own little books, and I had a cassette tape called Never Stand Behind a Sneezing Cow. And, and there was a little bookstore in Rice Lake, Wisconsin, and I showed up there with my little self-published book and my cassette tape, and that lady took me seriously and really helped me out. And so I made a promise to her that I'd always do my best to start all my book tours in Rice Lake from that day forward. And so I was up there, and then I rolled on down to Madison through the night last night, got in here about 2:30 and ready to roll.
You're ready to roll, and you'll be tonight at Barnes & Noble.
Right here in Madison, yep. I'm making several circles through Madison in the next few months. Be at Barnes & Noble tonight, and then I think I head off to, you got to help me out.
Oconomowoc.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite book tour stops because when I'm on official book tour, I do a lot of events that I just set up myself. But when I'm on quote-unquote official book tour, I always get this call from the publicist in New York. And he or she will say, and then on day three, you'll be stopping at Oconomowoc. And I just say, it's all right, I got it.
Oconomowoc is a little hard for people to...
I always say, you know you're from around here, you can say Oconomowoc.
Oh, and we'll repeat these again, but then Friday you're at Boswell in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and that's going to be a fun little event too, because they've got, right now as we speak, they have a photo exhibit up. I've always worked with John Shimon and Julie Lindemann. They're out of Manitowoc, and they teach at Lawrence University. They're a couple of Wisconsin folks, and they've done the covers of every one of my hardcover books. And for this book, as you've seen, not only did they do the cover, but their beautiful black and white portraits are scattered throughout the book. And the story of when they took those photos is salted throughout the book.
So yeah, it's a very interesting approach. I love that approach.
Well, thanks. I struggled with that. They came and Tom, the fellow I'm writing the book about, he's a pretty interesting fellow, and they came and spent a day taking photos of him, and I just followed and stayed in the background and wrote about that day. And I knew I had this wonderful piece of material because he basically took them on a tour of his life by taking them on a tour of his farm. And I just didn't know how to get it into the book. And it used to be chapter one, then it was the last chapter. And that, so finally I just took a slice and dice and put it in between chapters. So I hope folks go with that. We'll see.
Oh, I think you're going to love it. Well, and of course, Tom Hartwig and his wife, Arlene, I believe.
Yes, Arlene. Yep.
How did you first meet them?
I first met them, courtesy of my then-girlfriend, eventual wife. And she grew up on a farm quite near Tom and Arlene, and during her high school years began to spend quite a bit of time over there. And I was actually on their hay crew. It's one of my favorite stories of that. About the third time that she and I went over there, Tom must have figured that I was getting serious, which I was. And he took me aside, and he pointed to my wife. She was in the kitchen with Arlene, and he said, "You see that young lady there?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "She was on my hay crew for 5 years." And I said, yes, sir. And he said, and she outworked every boy I ever hired. And the line I always use, and I think I used it in the book, is that I realized that was less a testament to her character than a challenge to my own.
So, I love that.
That's how I met him. Yeah.
Oh, well, and he's, it turned out he's not your guru or mentor. He's a friend, a good friend.
Yeah, you know, that was important to me. There was this, there were a couple ways to go about the book, and one of them is I really wanted to avoid the idea that he's my mentor, or that I even write in there, I have no special claim on Tom Hartwick. He is just my neighbor. Obviously, there's a little bit of special connection because of my wife. But what I really wanted to do is just write a book about what can you learn from a guy who's just your neighbor, and the guy that you know, I take a piece of steel over there if I need it cut or bent or welded. Mm-hmm. And we do have dinner with him once in a while, but it's real informal. And so I really wanted to avoid that whole idea of me just going and studying with him. And in fact, when you read the book, you notice that if you come right out and ask him questions about life, you get very unsatisfactory answers, pretty much unusable. But if you just hang out and listen and watch, that's when you learn the good stuff. So, yeah, that was kind of the point with the book. So.
Michael Ferry, our guest today, author of several books, Coop, visiting Tom, his latest, Population 485, of course, off Main Street. A pleasure to have him back to talk about this latest book, Visiting Tom, A Man, A Highway, and A Road to Roughneck Grace. You can join in with your own questions or comments for Michael at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And go to my Facebook page, too, at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post there. His workshop. You know, I've seen workshops kind of like that in the rural Cottage Grove area where I grew up.
Oh, they're all around. Yeah. Yeah, you bet.
But it's sort of like, how'd you describe it? Rube Goldberg?
I described his shop as an antique store stocked by Rube Goldberg, curated by Hunter Thompson, and rearranged by a small earthquake. It's just, and the Hunter Thompson reference is that Tom is known around the area. He makes his own cannons and shoots them.
Yeah.
And so you're going through his shop through the tangle of mystic grease pails and old shovels and engine blocks, and then you trip over a cannon. So that's
pretty impressive.
Yeah. And the other thing that fascinates me about him, too, is that while he can tell you about how to build a cannon, and while he's shooting his cannon for you, he'll give you an entire history of the Iron Brigade and the Civil War, and he'll talk about Napoleonic cannons and warfare. But then he's got a lathe, a metal lathe in his shop, and he'll proudly tell you that the most recent patent visible on that lathe dates to 1918, I believe it is. And yet, I was over there the other day, and he was turning out a part for some guy's $350,000 computerized combine. So, you know, he's not just living in a foxfire world and making oxen yoke. He can do that, but he also is still very active in helping guys with their fancy machinery.
Yeah, and he's getting up there a little bit, too.
83, just turned, in the book he's 80, I refer to him as 82. It's always hard when you write a book over a period of a couple of years, but I just chose 82, and he's 83 now, and he and his wife have just celebrated their 60th anniversary, and that's part of the book, too, is the whole, Tom is a husband of 60 years now, he's a father of two daughters, and I'm a husband of 8 years and a father of two daughters, and so I read about that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a love story, too, and it's about children, and it's not all roughneck.
It surely is, and it to me, it's one of the kind of the joys of always picking up one of your books, because I'm now going to learn more about Michael and his family and what they've been up to since the last book.
Yeah, that's tricky for me always, because I'm pretty self-conscious about the fact that I'm 47 years old and just published my fourth memoir. That there's no reason for that. It's what the publisher asks for, of course. But I will say I enjoyed in this book turning the lens outward more. Yes, mm-hmm. We're still in there. And also, I've talked to folks about this. I'm so grateful for you and I have mm-hmm. talked before. I never saw any of this coming, and I'm just grateful to be doing it. But there is a point. I read a writer once who wrote about several memoirs about his two daughters and wife. He would refer to his family life. And then he said when his daughter oldest daughter turned 12, he promised them he wouldn't write about them till they were out of college because he said nobody deserves to be written about when you're a teenager. And I've kind of taken that to heart. I'm pushing that to the background a little bit just out of respect for my kids. They never asked for this. You know,
no.
They didn't know that dad was going to be this knucklehead who wrote about their bathroom tricks, you know. But yeah, it's still in there. It's definitely, especially you get to know my younger daughter a little more. She's 5 and... She's got the personality of a D8 Caterpillar bulldozer. And she views life as a big pile of dirt. She just drops her blade and pushes on through. She's sweet. She just teaches me every day. She does have an independent spirit.
Michelle in Madison has a comment. Thank you, Michelle.
Yes, hello. Actually, I just finished Coop last night, and I really, really enjoyed it. And one of the reasons why I picked it up was because for years I've been promising the kids that we would build a chicken coop in the backyard. And just been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And, boy, are we on fire now. We were out clearing brush, and we're going to turn our old jungle gym into a coop. And we've just been planning the best coop in our head just like you had been doing. And it's just a wonderful adventure. We had a beautiful day yesterday. I just wanted to say thank you. And thank you especially for the piece of advice in there that said, you know, when you promise your kids to do something, you better do it or your name's mud. You had a much more eloquent way of saying it. I can't remember the precise quote, but thanks again.
Well, thank you. And I think the reason that I was much more eloquent is that I think I actually quoted Jim Harrison. So that's probably why you like that so much. And you've also, first of all, thank you for reading Coop. Yeah, Coop's a book about getting our own chickens and raising them, and we still have chickens. We cut back on the animals this year because I'm on tour so much this fall, and it just wasn't right to leave all of the animals and me being gone. But we still, I moved the chickens to a new patch of grass just before literally the day that I left for tour yesterday, the last thing I did was move the chickens, and my daughter goes and gets the eggs and cleans them and participates in the distribution of those eggs. And so, yeah, that's a good part of our life.
Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate it very much. Paul, and, well, I tell you what, we are going to take a quick break here. And, Paul, I hope you'll stay with us. And, Russ, I hope you'll stay with us as well. Michael Perry, our guest today, talking with him about, well, probably we'll talk about all of his books at one point or another, but we want to highlight his most recent book, just out yesterday. It's called Visiting Tom, A Man, A Highway, and the Road to Roughneck Grace. Just to let you know, if you're in the Madison area tonight, he's going to be at Barnes & Noble at 7 o'clock from 7 to 9. So Barnes & Noble on Mineral Point Road, and then Thursday in Oconomowoc at Books and Company and Oconomowoc Arts Center. So a couple of those. And we'll talk about with him some more about those visits and also about his book. So you stay with us. The most touching and humorous stories are often those about everyday life, whether it's the joys of or challenges of parenting or working or spending time with friends and neighbors. Those stories speak to us on a very basic human level and are always wonderful. And few people have more of an eye or ear for that than Michael Perry. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Michael Perry, author, humorous musician, host of Tent Show Radio, which you just heard a little bit about. You can enjoy that right here on the Ideas Network at 7 o'clock on Saturday evenings. Michael's latest book is Visiting Tom, A Man, A Highway, and A Road to Roughneck Grace. Talking with him about that until 12:30 today. Join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or visit our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can leave a question or a comment there. And we'll be back with Michael right after this look at the news. I know for me, reading a Michael Perry book is like catching up with an old friend. I think a lot of us have enjoyed being along for the ride, as Mike has told stories of his growing into being a farmer, a husband, a parent. In Visiting Tom, A Man, A Highway, and the Road to Roughneck Grace, Michael shares his thoughts and experiences, but he also introduces us to Tom Hartwig, who's quite a character. And Mike is our ticket into Tom's world and observations. And so we're glad to have him back to talk about Tom and talk about his book. And certainly to invite you to join in with your questions or comments for Michael Perry. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And before we go to the phones, Michael, you know, Tom impresses me as a kind of a guy who he knows a lot and he's a wonderful guy, but not a guy who wants to call a lot of attention to himself necessarily.
Not necessarily, no. As a matter of fact, one of the things he requested when I sat down with him and asked if I could write the book was he said that was fine, but he wanted his name changed.
Yeah.
And so I have changed his name and the name of a couple of identifying geographic points. but he's also, let's face it, such a character that it's a pretty open secret if you're anywhere near the area. I mean, there's only one guy building cannons and shooting them in his front yard. And it's a tricky dance because I really wanted to write about Tom because he represents an archetype, both he and Arlene.
Yeah.
I want to make sure she's included here that he's a roughneck polymath is what I call him. He just can do so many things, and we're living in an increasingly specialized world, and I'm not here to play that violin. I'm just saying that's the way it is. And when a guy like him goes, man, the amount of information and insight that goes with him is astounding. And so I just wanted to try and write about that kind of guy and that kind of life and see what I could pass along.
I've always felt so inadequate around guys like that.
No, please. I just there I stand with my soft little typist hands. And I love, too, about his one of the stories I tell in the book. I'll tell the short version, but I write in there just about that, about hands and having soft hands. But I have a scythe that I bought at an auction, and I use it to harvest our little patch of oats. And so one day I'm over to see Tom, and he's got a scythe hanging in his rafter because he grew up in a time when he used that as the first out implement. And so I'm asking him, I was telling him how I sharpen the blade. And I said, am I doing that right? And he says, yeah, it sounds like you're doing that about right. And then I tell him how I swing it. And I said, am I doing that right? Because I'm hoping I can learn something. Ah, you're telling you're doing that about right. And I'm getting this real warm, fuzzy feeling because I'm thinking, you know, here's the elder, and he's pleased that the younger generation is taking these things and passing them on and learning the old ways. And he breaks it. He goes, yeah, you know what else works pretty good? One of them gas-powered weed whackers. So, he's not one to get all hung up on sentimentality either. So.
Paul in Oshkosh, thanks for waiting. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'd just like to say hi to Mike. I'm a big fan. I got to see him at the Oshkosh Public Library at a book reading, I believe, when he was on the book tour for Truck. And he had quite a crowd there, and it ran a little late, and a lot of people got in line to have him sign books, and I was the last person in line, and he waited and signed books for every person, and I gave him a little CD that I had made, and he emailed me back a few days later saying thanks. It just seemed like a very Wisconsin thing to do.
Well, I appreciate that. Well, you know, I'm a self-employed writer, and I need every customer I can get. So, and, you know, I have a hard time sometimes with thank you because I'm actually pretty shy. I can get out in public. You saw me in Oshkosh. I enjoy that talking and stuff, but day to day I pretty much keep to myself, and I don't handle praise well, but sometimes it's just best to do what Mom said and just say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thank you for calling. I appreciate that. I love going out and doing the readings. It's, you know, like tonight in Madison, and if you're wondering where I'm going to be, by the way, if you go to sneezingcow.com, there's an events page. Or right now, you can actually also enter visitingtom.com. You'll still end up at Sneezing Cow, but through the magic of the interwebs. But the thing, and this gentleman has brought it up for me. I appreciate that. One of my favorite things about book tours and readings and going out in public is, as a writer, you spend most of your time alone, and you send your books out, and people read them, and you don't really ever have any interaction. And the readings are a chance to actually look people in the face and say thanks. And so I always look forward to that.
Thanks very much, Paul, for calling. Russell in Luck, Wisconsin. Hi to you. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Larry. You know me because we worked together for many years. And, Mike, I want to say that you are a fresh breath of air. I kind of relate to the many things that you write about, and I've read every one of your books. And at the Milltown reading one time a long time ago, you signed every one of them.
Oh, thanks.
And I really appreciate that.
Well, but, I appreciate that, too.
You're really good, Mike, and I hope you continue with this for a long, long time. I live in Luck, And if you know where that is, that's over in the western part of the state. But I'm in Phillips today, and I'm a judge this county fair here.
Well, very good. Yeah, I know. I know both those areas.
Me
and
too.
I'll probably be cruising through Phillips at some point in the next month because I have to go from Bayfield, Wisconsin, to Mequon in an overnight drive. And if I now someone's going to check the map and call me and tell me I'm completely off base.
What I want you to do is I want you to stop at Bonnie's Diner right on Main Street because that is a great place. I had a hot beef sandwich there, and I haven't had one like that for a long, long time.
I'll put her on the list.
Yep, Bonnie's Diner right on Main Street.
All right.
Thanks, Russ.
By the way, before I go, Mike, I want to give you a suggestion.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, the county fairs in Wisconsin have been going on for years and years and years, and they would make an excellent subject for your research. There's so many different people that you meet and all the volunteers involved, and really what goes on with a county fair, people don't really realize. All they think about is the carnival and so forth, but all the 4-H people and all the people who bring in exhibits, it's really, really something. And I don't know how much longer it's going to last, but we hope that it lasts a long time.
Well, I'm going to one Saturday with my band down there in Gillett, I believe it's.
Yeah, Gillett, yeah, yes, absolutely.
The Econo County Fair. I hope I got that right, too. I'm not looking at my cheat sheet. But, yeah, me and the Longbeds are going to play there Saturday around noon or so.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. But he's absolutely right. You know, everywhere I go, I get to perform at some cool theaters and stuff, and there's always a team of people behind the scenes making the lights work, making the sound work, making sure everybody gets there. So he makes a point that's overarching. Appreciate that.
And I'm thinking, when you mentioned neat places, I'm thinking about your CD, the Clodhopper Monologues, that you actually were in Stoughton at the Stoughton Opera House, which is one of the really cool buildings.
Oh, it's a stunning place. Yeah. To be able to stand on a rug there and tell stories was quite a treat.
Thanks, Russell. Penny in Sheboygan, your turn. Hi, Penny.
Hi. I remember when you were on PBS and that Green Bay's TV and your population 485, and I loved that, and I loved the book, and I was sad because it was so short-lived, and my other comment is, when are you going to write another book like Population 485?
Well, that's a good question, and I thought about that long and hard, and my initial feeling was I was given an opportunity to take a snapshot of a place that I love and care about probably more than any other place in the world, and I did the best I could, and I don't consider myself the expert on that place. I just had a chance to take one photograph of it during a certain time, and so there was some interest in having me write what I guess you'd call a sequel, and I just wanted to let it stand the way it was, and maybe in time, we'll see. But and it's the same with, you know, Population 485 was a lot about EMS and firefighting, and I'm still active as a first responder I'm on a farm that's in a different fire district now, but I'm with Township Fire Department up there in Eau Claire County and still making calls and responding with in concert with some of my neighbors in Fall Creek as well. And even that, as much as I loved writing about firefighting and being an EMT, and even though I'm still doing it, I didn't want to try to become the guy, because there are 10,000 of those stories out there, and someone else should have a shot at telling them too. So it plays in and out. The last scene in Visiting Tom is about me jumping in the truck with my orange bag and running off to answer an ambulance call.
Yeah, absolutely.
But thank you very much for your kind words.
And Mary in La Crosse, let's turn to you now. Speaking about fire departments.
Hi, Michael. This is the third time now that I've called in. And fortunately, when I heard about your first book, I got it right away, and Truck and Coop. And yesterday I got my Barnes & Noble discount cards in the mail, and I'm headed up to Barnes & Noble to get Tom today. But I have to tell you, I live in a nice, wide-open apartment complex here in the south part of La Crosse, and one of my neighbors is... he's not able to be a firefighter now, but he was on the Shelby Volunteer Fire Department for years. And whenever he's got his radio, whenever he gets a call, and because there are so many seniors in my apartment complex, he always comes and helps out. And so one day I said, hey, I've got a great book for you to read. And so he looked at it and he said, "Oh, I've got it." He said, "It's in our firehouse. Our firehouse has it for everybody to read."
Oh, neat.
Yeah, so yeah. That's the Shelby Volunteer Fire Department. But I wanted to say, you know, there are so many of these old coots that are just such characters. And so I'm looking forward to Tom because we had one as a neighbor for many years, and we called him Uncle Harold, and he was just like your Tom.
Oh, you
bet. And we had an adopted grandpa from church that made his own cannons. And so thank you, and I'll look forward to your next book.
Well, thank you. I appreciate all of that.
Thanks so much. My dad was a little like Tom.
A little bit.
He could fix anything and do anything, and I would really driven home to me one time when he had put together an outbuilding. He'd built it all by himself. And I got a similar one for my house, and I called a buddy of mine and another buddy, and the three of us with the same, trying to put the same thing together. After a long time, I got on the phone and I called my dad. Dad came over and kind of took care of it. But man, talk about feeling, I don't know what the word is for that. But
useless, Larry? Is that the word you're looking for?
Oh, boy. Well, we've got more callers. By the way, if you want to join in, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Susan in Sauk City, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate your call.
Good. I just wanted to tell Mike how much I enjoy the tweets from Sneezing Cow.
Thank you.
I liked him on Facebook, and so now I get little updates every once in a while about what's going on at farm and with the chickens and with the hogs. And for me, it's a great way to keep up with that sort of my fantasy of what's going on in Mike's world and that I learned about from Coop and Truck and so forth.
Well, thank you. It's nice to know because I was, you know, that's a fine line there. You don't want to overdo it and you don't want to bug people all the time, but you like to keep them interested and coming back now and then. So I'm glad you're out there watching those. I'll try to be judicious.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And by the way, I hope we have a link to that.
Well,
yeah, we've got a link to Sneezing Cow.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yeah, and the Twitter and the Facebook links are right there.
Right there as well. Yeah. And what do you bet that there'll be a little uptick in those here?
Well, that'd be nice. It's a great way to keep in touch in the Twitter and Facebooks. I mean, I have a blog, too, at sneezingcow.com. But they're also great just for, you know, I took a picture of the sign that said I was at public radio when I got here and said, well, here we go. And I put a picture of the studio and said, somewhere in there is Larry Mueller. And so it's just fun to kind of show folks what's going on. Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I'm just looking now. Here's a picture on our Facebook page of you and I and Jerry Apps.
And dare I say it, that of the three, I think you and Jerry both have more hair than I do.
But you are certainly trimmer.
Well, it's all relative, isn't it?
Oh, having some fun today with Michael Perry, Larry Mueller here. Thank you so much for listening in. Dan and Merrimack, we'll give you a chance. Hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Larry. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Dan?
Good. My wife bought Population 485 for me shortly after it came out, and I was on the fire department in Merrimack for 15 years, which has got a population of about over 470, and a lot of it rang true.
Well, thank you. You know, that's the, I said earlier, you get nervous when people say nice things, but one of the sweetest compliments I can get about Population 45 is if a firefighter or an EMT or paramedic says that it rang true, because I tried really hard. Like I said, I'm not by any means the best firefighter or EMT, far from it, but I wanted to at least have it ring true, so I appreciate that comment.
Yeah.
Well, keep up the good work.
Thanks, Dan.
I'll have at her.
Thanks, Dan. And Ken in Hingham, hello to you. Hi.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Larry. I just first wanted to thank you for all your work and appreciate the humor in it. And we had, when I was growing up, I live in a little town called Hingham, and it's about 600 people maybe now. It used to be half of that. But there was a, in a neighboring town, there was a fellow that had a blacksmith shop, which is maybe the old version of what the machine shop might be now. And his name was Oscar, and he was known for being able to fix a lot of different things. And there's a tree on our property, a sugary maple, right outside our kitchen window that in a storm split, and Oscar came over and put a bolt through it. And that bolt's still in that sugar maple, and it's my wife's family's home. And that was probably 50, 60 years ago anyhow. So just wanted to, and we named that tree Oscar, by the way.
Well, you know, it's amazing that you made this call, because that rings true to two things in the new book. One is, I write in there about the old blacksmith who was right around the three-mile block from our farm where Dad used to go before he had his own welder, and his name was Oscar. And the other thing is, in the book, I also write about what we call in the, my brothers are loggers and have a sawmill, and Tom has his own sawmill that he built, and I write about that in the book, and there's a picture of it in there. But I talk about yard trees and how a sawyer doesn't ever want to saw a yard tree because somewhere in there is a hunk of metal. And I also write in there about, how I sort of relearned this lesson on my own, but I'll let you read about that. But so yeah, I know about iron and trees, and I know about blacksmiths named Oscar. So appreciate that call. That's neat.
If I could make one comment yet, which I told Judith as Ryan was calling, I just heard on the radio lately. I think it's an African proverb that said, "When a man dies, a library burns."
Oh yeah!
And,
wow!
And I just thought with your earlier comment that kind of.
Yeah,
maybe a whole regional library system burns. I'm not sure.
That's right on the money, yeah.
Thank you very much, Ken. Appreciate your call. And Julie in Chippewa Falls, thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to say a couple of things. Number one, I have had my tickets to Oh Last Night in Big Top Chautauqua for a couple of months because I know I'll have a chance to hear you. So that'll be great. But what I really wanted to say was that in the future, I would love to have you write more about your mom. There were just nuggets of that in Population 45, and I loved it. It was one of the sweetest things. And my brother, who doesn't know her at all, asked me about her and wants to know more, and I think that she's just the most amazing woman. So that's kind of, I know she's very private, but
yeah,
that would be something I'd love to see for the future.
Well, one thing, I'll say two things. One is, you hit right on it, she's extremely private, my parents are, which is I feel bad for them because they raised a son who writes nonfiction memoirs. But in Coop, I do write a lot more about my mom and about her faith and about the kids that she takes care of and is still taking care of. And so I appreciate what you said. And, yeah, it's always a delicate balance between writing about someone who I care about so deeply as my mother, but also letting her have her life back, too.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Julie. Caller from Arborvitae wondered about where you went to nursing school and how you got into that.
I am a graduate of the University of Wisconsin School of Nursing, class of 1987. No need to do the math. And I got into that because, well, my mom was a nurse. You know, this is a good segue. My mom was a nurse. I remember her wearing her white dress and white cap and going off to work at the hospital. But then she started taking care of very ill children at home. And so I was raised in a house where there were always oxygen tanks and tube feedings at the supper table. It didn't seem unusual to me. And so I was very familiar with the whole milieu. And then the thing that tipped it over the edge, I'm afraid to say, is that I was listening to a university recruiter talk, and she was listing majors, and she said business, art, geography, nursing. And I thought, oh, nursing, that sounds interesting. And that's about all the thought I put into it. But I had a great experience there, and in Off Main Street, I have an essay about how I worked as a nurse for only about 2 years and loved it, but I accidentally started writing. But in Off Main Street, I have an essay called Scarlet Ribbons, where I talk about how my nursing education and human assessment were the best tools I was ever given as a writer.
Yeah, that has to be, there has to be a lot of truth to that, for sure. Well, we had a Facebook comment from Teresa, who says, Michael, I just wanted to say that I was on the fence about going into a firefighting paramedic program at CVTC, but then after I read Population 485, it clinched it for me. This semester, I'll be starting at the tech as pre-programmed to get my EMT and then hopefully on to my fire medic certification.
Wow. Yeah, that I don't know what to say to that kind of thing, except I don't. I think I already said I'm a writer with a small W, and I'm just trying to keep the kids fed. But when someone says something like that, it makes it feel like maybe I snuck something extra in there, and I'm just grateful that she said that. And good luck. Be careful. Be safe.
Yeah, and it's kind of a wonderful tribute and almost a fine way to end. Now, I want to just remind everybody again where you're at. Tonight you're at Barnes & Noble and Mineral Point Road in Madison, and that's from 7 to 9. You'll probably read some there, I expect.
Yeah, I always read a little, and then I always tell a few stories that aren't in the book, you know, the value-added portion of the program. It's just fun. I'm happy to be there.
Well, that's tonight from 7 to 9, and then Books & Company in Oconomowoc Arts Center on Thursday night, and then Friday you'll be at Boswell Book Company in Downer Avenue in Milwaukee. So
along with that photo exhibit with Shimon and Lindemann.
Yeah. Yep. And you'll be putting some miles on the old vehicle.
I will. I'm going to several states, and you're looking at the entourage, Larry. This is it right here. So, yeah, and again, all those details are at sneezingcow.com or visitingtom.com on the events page. You bet.
Michael Perry, author of his latest book, Visiting Tom, A Man, A Highway, and the Road to Roughneck Grace. I loved it. I know you're going to love it, too. And copies available pretty much anywhere. But go to sneezingcow.com, and you'll learn a whole lot more about where he's going to be and about all of his other books as well. We really appreciate having him by and expect he'll be back again at some point.
I hope. That'd be a pleasure.
Patricia McConnell joins us tomorrow. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.